Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching this on YouTube, you already see I have a guest with me today. And this guest is actually someone who's been on the show before. So let's welcome back Miss Anna Dove.
Hello. Very happy to be here. So excited. This feels like such a fitting time to be back.
I know. Anna and I were talking. This is about... We're 2 days off from being 1 year from when we filmed our last episode together last season. So if you didn't check it out, Anna is on season 1, episode 13, titled It Was a Moment, which is so cute.
That is cute.
And like very fitting still, I feel like.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. So we were like reminiscing. We feel like we are back. We're better than ever. We are mature. I'm just kidding.
No,
like,
we're trying.
Yeah, we're trying. We're growing. We're growing and we're glowing, right?
Yes. We're getting there.
And we're on the journey, right? So exactly. I'm glad you're back. We have lots to catch up on. Mm-hmm. Let's first tell everybody a quick intro of who you are if they haven't seen the first episode of you already on.
Absolutely. Okay, so... TLDR, I have lived in Chicago for about a year now officially after lots of travel, bouncing around. I'm a freelance writer, copy editor, and I do video editing and social media, so lots of different creativity going on. Yeah. I also have an online collection of rotating small artists that launched after the last time that we spoke.
Yeah,
so that's going well. Just a freelancer at heart. I feel like I have to do too many things.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where we're at.
And a freelancer, like, creative though. Yeah. Everything is kind of all intermixed with each other.
Oh, I guess cute. I do content creation too.
Yeah.
And like that's forgetting like, that.
Whole, like how we met and that's everything. Exactly. I guess I do content creation.
It's so hard to have so many good things going.
Seriously.
On.
No, you gotta flex all
of
them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's
so funny.
An important one.
Yeah. Anna also does like some like get ready with me and like follow me around, day in the life, travel vlogs, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's how we connect. Through the power of social media.
So crazy.
I saw a girly who posts stuff I like to post, I like to watch, and then we kind of connected from there, which is super cute, right?
The power of social media
really
is just such a crazy thing.
Yeah, literally. It's like insane, but we're using it for good, so that's what matters
right
now.
Exactly, that's the goal.
Yeah.
The connection versus like just being there to be there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to first kick off with asking you, what era are you in?
Such a good question. Okay. I would say I am in my reconnection era.
Okay.
So that kind of means with myself, with, you know, friends that maybe I wasn't spending as much like time and energy on as I could have, like as a good friend. Mm-hmm. With work, I've had some big meetings the last couple of days. Actually, it's been a very good, busy week.
Okay.
Lots of projects in the pipeline. And then my younger brother, he is 22 now, but he's been staying with me for about a month. And it's the first time we've lived together since we were kids, really. And so just reconnecting there for sure. That's huge. I should have told you this before the podcast, but I think he's applying to Dream Team today. Like,
oh, today?
So Alyssa met my brother. Yeah.
That's so funny. Cute. Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, what are you going to do today, Michael? And he was like, oh, I think I'm going to have some things to submit. And he was like, well, one of them is for Dream Team. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay.
That's
perfect.
So
he's getting into his Chicago era.
Good.
I feel like last time.
Yeah, that was your thing last season.
That was my answer. And so now it's cool to see him shifting into that space too.
Yeah, because you did it already in a sense.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
You're still doing
we're like
it,
here and like settled. I feel like I have the community that I was really like searching for last time, and like the whole goal of moving here, it feels as if I kind of really dove into that in the way that I wanted, and so now it's cool to see like, okay, what am I gonna do beyond that, and then like helping other people shift into that
cute.
Same kind of space. It's
cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so
sweet.
Cute. Okay, well tell him, well text me or remind me later today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like to look for his submission.
No, definitely.
That's so cute. He's also an actor, a little creative.
Yes.
So that's very exciting and very, very wholesome and exciting and cute. And I'm glad that you told me. Because that's like good timing for him, right?
I know. I was like, okay, gotta get into it.
Yeah, that's so cute. Amazing. Well, So last we spoke, just like quick recap, you had gone to, you have been just a traveling queen. You were going all over the country and other countries as well.
Yeah.
One big theme we had in the past episode is that you felt like a bit inconsistent with like your relationships because of the travel, and like you weren't in one space for X amount of time. So it kind of made some loose ends be a little bit harder to tie up, if that makes sense. So I just wanted to ask now, I feel like you've been more settled for the most part in Chicago.
Yeah.
So how has that felt? Do you have any future plans to travel? How, we'll get to that first, then I'll ask you some more.
Okay, yes. Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Taking it in pieces. So I was on an international trip like every single month at one point, right? And so I remember last time I was on here, I was just about to go to Spain. Such a fun trip. And then, you know, I've only really traveled internationally a couple times since then, which I know that sounds like, oh my gosh, okay, shut up, we get it. but it's been a big shift for me.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And so, I've been really consistently in Chicago, or, you know, going to California to see some of my close friends, or, you know, mainly just being here, though. And it's been like I felt like I could finally get into a flow of my work and what I was doing, but I realized that I almost value the routine and the structure of traveling. I think it's because I did it so much for so long that I still find myself the most productive on like the Amtrak to Milwaukee or
a flight to
LA or whatever. It's like I knew I had that built-in time, and I'll be doing so many things. Even on the way here, I was on my phone on the train and the bus and, like, just getting all of that together because I was like, okay, I have this time to be productive, and it's...
And you know that's, like, your time for that.
Exactly.
Which makes sense.
And so it's kind of... It's been interesting to see how I've shifted in my mindset and the way that I am creative and productive and just where I find those breaks of time, because if I have just a full day to myself to get things done, I'm like, I'm not doing as much. I realize I need to be busier to be more productive, and so that's a great
100%
great thing to realize about myself.
And
I know that's such a thing for a lot of people. I do have hopefully a trip coming up in November, an international trip. I want to go to Prague. For those of you who may not have listened last time, I am a flight benefits girly. So when I talk about traveling this much, it's like, don't get it twisted. I am not not really paying that much for flights. It's cheap travel for me.
Which is
thankfully
great.
In this era of my life. Thankfully, I'm also still in my non-rev enrolled friend era. So that's my my sub era of the moment.
Perfect. And that's a blessing. You're taking advantage of it, as you should. 100%.
So I feel like I'm utilizing that, especially because I know that that could always, you know, go away, job shift. Like,
yeah, totally.
Me being the enrolled friend could shift. So I wanna take advantage of that a little bit before whatever may happen happens.
So that's very valid.
So that's really the only big trip I have planned, though. I want to get out there more, and I think I'm going to start prioritizing that a little bit.
Okay.
Now that it's like the opposite of last time, right? Now that I've been here and settled, and I have the communities, and there's always something going on, and that's why I started being here as much as I was before I moved here. I was like, oh, there's this event and this one and a friend's birthday and XYZ, and it was like I had so much pulling me here. And I still feel that. And I know that's why I'm not leaving early as much, because I'm like, I have commitments. I have things going on. I have things I want to be doing.
Yeah.
But at the same point, this week specifically, this is funny timing, but I have just like had the deepest urge to leave. But not for, you know, being unhappy or not fulfilled with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want a little trip. I need to go somewhere.
No, 100%.
Switch it up. And then,
I understand. For me, like, I had, like, I would go, like, maybe somewhere monthly. Last year, I was somewhere once or twice a month.
You were doing a lot.
But it was all in the country, but it still was, like, 4 days here, 3 days there.
Right.
And it was still, like, a thing that kind of kept me in a weird way on a schedule.
Because
I would come home and know, okay, in 2 weeks, you're leaving to go to L.A. You get back from L.A., you have a weekend at home, then you go to New York, or, like, whatever that was.
Yeah.
And so again, a huge blessing to have that opportunity, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. And I understand that feeling of, like, I would, like, hold on editing a podcast or a video or something because I knew I have a 4-hour flight to LA, just edit it on the flight.
Exactly.
And it's a morphed way of thinking because my issue now is, like, mm-hmm. the discipline of, like, okay, you're home yeah. all day today. You have 10 things you have to get done. Mm-hmm. Get them done. And then I'll get 3 things done, and I'm like, ugh. I'm bored, like, I'm on a break, or, like, yeah. I'll go on a walk, or, like, yeah. I'll go to the gym, and I'll go get a Starbucks or a Dunkin' or whatever, like, I'll go, like, get a drink, and then I'll come back, and then set it up again, and it's, like, a continuous cycle, so I understand, like, needing that structure of being somewhere sturdy.
Yeah.
But also, I understand the privilege we have of being able to go elsewhere and yeah. do other things and experience life also while still being productive.
And that's such a good point. It's, like, you almost have to create that structure for yourself in other ways, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to coffee shops a lot more. That was something I did a ton because, like, to your point as well, when I would be traveling and know that I was home for a week and then hear, like, a second home kind of vibe yeah. for a week and then on a trip, it's like I wanted to make the most of every place that I was. And
yes.
so I would go to coffee shops. I would do everything. I probably spent way too much money on dinners, you know,
that yeah, kind of yeah.
idea, because it was like every moment was limited in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of getting back into that mindset for myself of being in Chicago, but still acting like I am not here 24/7 like I am now, because
yeah.
it makes me more productive and, like, inspired to just be experiencing the fullness of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to budget and do my thing, but also
yeah.
a little coffee and dinner moment never hurt anybody.
Yeah. You
like,
never
whatever.
Regret, like, oh, I shouldn't have gone to that dinner. It's like,
yeah.
oh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, honestly, maybe one too many tequila sodas, I'm like, oh, shit.
I can regret or whatever, but
yeah, I don't think I've ever been like, oh, my gosh, I hate that I had this beautiful experience with friends that I love or
quality
myself.
Time. Ugh. Yeah.
I went to a happy hour that I stumbled upon yesterday. I was at a meeting in West Loop and I keep seeing videos about happy hour
yes.
at Hide and Seek.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'd never been there.
I have never
They're
been there
popping
either.
Off. I don't know what's going on with their promos, but
yeah.
it's working.
Yeah.
They got me because I was thinking I'm never in that area during the happy hour time. And it's always just like just enough out of the way for the friends that I would normally go with that we always do River North or somewhere.
Got it.
Streeterville,
which
you know.
Which makes sense.
And so I was like, I'm going to take myself to happy hour. And I had my little dirty martini I was drinking. And I had my fries, a nice little
girl dinner.
Moment.
Yeah, a classic girl dinner.
And yeah, I
girl
was
lunch.
Just, I was
yeah.
working on some client work. And another girly that I know comes onto the patio. And I was like, Sarah, what are you doing here? And she was meeting a girl that she had met out at a bar with her friends the weekend before. And so we all ended up just having
That's so cute
little happy hour. And it was so fun. And I was like, it's such a good reminder, too, like, taking those moments for myself.
Yeah.
Just, like, can also lead to more fun connections. I'm a big quality type person.
Yeah.
And so that was just so sweet to
That's
me.
Really, really cute.
It was so
and
fun.
It's cute how you three girls found each other at that space without
yeah,
planning it.
Exactly.
And it was very your authentic self.
Right.
Which is very, very cute. And
when
I also
happens.
Yeah, and I love, like, girlies connecting. Like, mm-hmm. nothing makes me happier, makes my heart more full than, like, I just made, like, 3 new friends today. And
no,
they're like girlfriends.
So
and they seem like meeting friends at this age as young adults.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me has been game changing because it's people who I'm meeting that are also meeting me as, like, my best self or, like, my
right, yeah.
my good energy compared to the ones who I've known since I was 5. They're
mm-hmm.
the real ones. They've stuck with me throughout the 20 years, but, like, having a refreshing new friendship is
yeah.
like, it just shows you, like, where you're at also. And, like, what type
right.
of friends you make can reflect who you are as a person or how you view yourself.
Yeah.
So I can see, like, why that's, like, super crucial with, like, making friends and having those moments for yourself, like, one-on-one as well.
Right. Well, and I love that you said that because it really does act as a good kind of meter for, like, what energy am I putting out into the world that's attracting these
yes.
kinds of people that I want to be around. And I'm so grateful for the friends that I have from all these different stages of my life. And I have a lot of people in this city mm-hmm. from very different periods of my life that all know each other and mesh. That's and it's cute. So cool to me. It's like the coolest thing in the world, but it's so sweet to have been meeting more people and spending more time with these girls that I've followed on social media for a long time uh-huh. or that have been friends of friends. I've started going out with girls so much more, and one, let me just say, the perks are they're so good. The I used to go out with totally. My like mixed friend group so much, which is always so fun, and I love that, and I will always say yes to that, but just something about being a group of girlies out on the town. Yes,
the connections you have.
It's so fun.
The universal experiences we all experience also. Exactly.
You just get
like so
in a
healing.
Way. It
yeah,
is.
Totally.
It is. I didn't realize how much I needed that in my life until I started having more
That's
of
sweet.
It.
And yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, very grateful for that. It's it's been a good. And that's what I mean by reconnecting, I guess, where we're kind of shifting the focus of, you know, we're shifting the focus to myself and like,
important.
What we can be doing. Exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
what you could do to, like, you just turned 25 also.
I did,
so I'm sure
yeah.
you're still in that, like, mindset of, like, mm-hmm. you know, your quarter life crisis.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. what is it? My frontal lobe developed?
Yeah, like you're fully here.
Let me tell you, I felt that. I felt that. We've had a couple of months, but we are good. We're doing better. The crisis has dwindled, I think. And I'm finally, like, at a point where I feel good about my career, myself. We're really balancing it back out.
Like, your choices, what got you here,
exactly,
your
exactly.
journey.
Being able to look back and reflect, especially on this past year, it's such good timing. I keep saying that, but that we talked, or I was on here mm-hmm. last October, and I had just moved, and it just feels like this year has been probably the most, like, traditionally adult year that I've had, in the sense of, you know, like, finding my way in a city and truly being in that city versus leaving all the time, and navigating just different friendships and relationships and work. I think it's really cool to look back and see that I have grown a lot, I think. And that's a special thing to know, that even when I feel stuck or comparing myself to other people our age, it's such a weird age to be, where it's like two of my closest friends got married literally around my 25th birthday. So talk about a quarter life crisis. It was my childhood best friend eloped in Vegas, and I was there.
That's so cute.
And then I came back and I had my birthday, had some things happen here for myself, and then I went to a wedding the next weekend of two of my best friends that they met when we all met on a study abroad.
Okay.
And they got married, and I was the maid of honor.
Wow. Oh my
god. These
gosh.
Were all the three people I lived with in San Diego right before Chicago, so it felt like, in a weird way, like a chapter was closing.
Okay.
But it wasn't. Like, you know, that's not what it was, but
so
it was
cute.
Just cool to see them in their element and so happy and at these different stages in life. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna make some changes in my life.
Probably.
Like, what are we doing?
It's a little humbling experience.
It is. Okay.
But that's exciting. It's good to have those healthy, like, exciting role models as well, in terms
absolutely.
Of like where everyone's at, but also giving yourself the grace of, like, everyone's journey is different.
Very different, exactly.
I've been also learning that journey of, like, what are my priorities and, like, my goals at this age. And, like, they look different compared to a lot of my friends, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good point. We're all at such different places that you can't always compare it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't.
No,
but,
yeah.
Like, you can. Yeah. If you tried.
Just not equating. Basically.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And that's sometimes it's not supposed to, you know?
Right.
I love
that's huge.
That's really exciting. It's just so much. But I did want to touch on something I thought was really cute about us. So Anna and I were at a few different, like, girly dates. We had some, like, brunch, breakfast, just coffee dates, catching up dates.
Yeah.
And we realized at these little, like, hangouts who we just kind of caught up, we had zero topics about boys. We didn't once discuss a boy. We had so much greatness in our lives that was flourishing that we highlighted and wanted to catch up each other on, that we didn't even, like, scratch the surface of a boy. Like, at all.
I don't think we mentioned a man.
Anything in the world of dating, of boys, of even guy friends, like, nothing.
And these weren't short.
Yeah, like,
and encounters. We had long.
They were, like, 2 hour, 3 hour, like, little, like, catch-ups. We also...
Oh, my God.
We just, like, kept yapping, and none of it was going back to our boy.
There was not a single thing. There was so much going on in both of our lives in great ways that we were talking about ourselves and about our careers and exciting things that were going on.
And ways to, like, help each other in these situations and ways to uplift each other. Right. And I think it's cute because I don't have a lot of that, like, in other situations. Absolutely. I feel like I'm always, like, talking about, like, a boy or a story or, like, hearing a guy's or a friend's POV of, like, their boy or, like, their date that they went on or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And so to have these, like, in-depth combos with someone who I would normally, like, touch in, I'm like, oh, like, yeah, like, I'm talking to this guy. Oh, like, whatever that, like, situation might look like, we didn't talk about it once. No. And then you were the one who pointed out that we officially, iconically, passed the Bechdel test.
So exciting. Everybody cheer.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. That's huge.
Right? Two women in their mid-20s.
Right.
Going on girly dates and not touching the topic of boys.
And it's like, that could mean so many different things, right? It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm dating somebody, or oh, XYZ, or blah, blah, blah. But we just, like, simply didn't talk about men.
No.
Like, at all, which was great.
I think there were so many other things we wanted to talk about that we were glowing about that wasn't a guy, and that's okay.
And honestly, when I think back about that, those were probably two of the best, most wholesome, uplifting.
Yeah, I felt very, like, inspired after.
I know. I remember both times I went home and I was like, okay, I have so much going on, and I'm like, ready to dive in. It just made me want to do more, and I was so excited after that. So
no, me too. And just
a good reminder.
It was very pure, and that's, like, part of the thing of, like, having friends who also are in the industry or, like, understand the creative world that we're a part of, because we can speak the same language without having to, like, catch each other up. But that's, we also don't, like, I didn't, like, I wasn't, like, hiding a boy topic. I just, like, we had other things to talk about.
Right. And it doesn't mean, flowed in that way. It wasn't like we were trying to avoid it either consciously. Yes. It was literally just that we had so many good things going on that we wanted to catch up on, because those felt like the important things to talk about, I feel like.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean there's not good or bad things happening in our lives with boys. It was just, like, that wasn't the focus of what we want to talk about, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, the Bechdel test is a test that I believe it was two women. It was Bechdel Wallace, I believe it is.
That sounds right.
I'll fact check, hopefully. But basically, like, it was a research, like, a study that in media and film, when they place two women, like, let's say you're watching a show, and they place two women in a scene together, it is 90% more common for the two women to be talking about a boy rather than about other things, like their career or their friends or their family or their goals or their dreams or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And it became a thing where these women who were studying this would, like, make conscious efforts to write films or to watch media or different types of form of art that portrayed women. It's like two or more women in a room. Mm-hmm. I think of Sex and the City. There's, what, the four girls, they're in a room, they're talking over lunch. The whole talk is about guys. And that's great. That's funny. That's what the girlies do. Like, well, we've all been there. We will always be there.
Always.
We will always have the debriefs and all that stuff. But there's also the importance of, like, having girl talks that aren't about guys. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact. Because I don't think guys hang out every week and they talk about us.
Oh, my gosh. And that is such a true thing.
Right?
Men don't do that.
Unless they're, like, crying because they're, like, heartbroken, which, like, also...
They're down bad. Or it's, like, the beginning and they're, like, oh, I'm obsessed with this girl.
Yes. Okay. Like, or, like, oh, yeah, I'm going on a date with this girl later. Like that is not, like, a... Like, men...
They throw their tea out there and then they say, all right, on to the next.
Yeah.
Oh, the wrong kind of on to the next.
No, but literally...
I guess maybe the right kind, because they're focused on their thing. They're focused on their, like... work, their friendships, whatever, their video games.
Yeah. I have a brother, he's 23. He doesn't know, like, one of his best friends since, like, 10 years old.
Yeah.
His mom was going through something. Mm-hmm. And my mom's like, oh my God, like, how is she? My brother's like, what do you mean? Like, they had no idea.
That's such a boy thing to do.
And we're like, you spend hours together every single week.
That blows my mind.
And they had no clue about what extreme life thing his best friend's mother was going through.
In no shade, but that is such a boy interaction.
It is.
They're just like, what's up?
They're just like driving, talking about cars, playing basketball, going to the gym. I'm like, what do you talk about in the car ride?
Yeah,
like
the amount of times that happens where it comes up and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't ask.
Or okay, like boyfriendship.
Yeah, and they give you like one sentence like, oh my God, what else happened? Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask.
Like, no, exactly. No, I didn't ask. It was crazy.
That's so ridiculous.
That's such a thing. Men ask questions.
Yeah, seriously. So that's like a funny thing, like the fact that they even have to study this, because in media, in the industry, on film, in books, in songs, like, it is a thing where, like, women talk about men and men talk about whatever they want.
Right.
And, like, women's role is to be the supporting character to the guy, and men do their own thing and go to work and make the money and, like, slay.
Right.
So, like, the fact that that was, like, a thing is important. Yeah. Girlies, when you hang out with your girlfriends, don't like force it, but have those healthy and inspiring conversations where you're like, wait, but what do you want to do? Like, what do you want out of this conversation? What do you want out of this experience that you're in? Or how are you feeling about this? Not just centered about like the boy's POV, if that makes sense.
That is such a good point. It's like, spill your tea,
yeah,
but also focus on yourself or what, like something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it feels better too. I don't think I've ever come out of a conversation just going off about a boy or talking about like XYZ, unpacking all of it, and just felt like fully better.
Yes.
But if the conversation shifts and we're getting into other topics, and it's like, okay, well, this is what I have going on.
And what else to look forward to or to focus on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where it's always, you know, don't let things bottle up. Like, of course, talk about whatever you need to talk about.
Yeah.
But I think it is always important to have reminders. Like, okay, this is not the only thing in my world.
Yeah, and like, so we had posted, like, the little, like, LOL, like, survived, like, passed the Bechdel test, like, part two or whatever.
Yeah.
And then one of my girlfriends slid up and was like, girl, that's honestly more terrifying than knowing you guys are talking about men. Because two powerful, strong-minded women are put in a room together and they have shit to talk about that isn't a guy.
Exactly.
That can be more scary.
No,
because we're going at it. We're getting to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
there's so much more there. There's more substance there. There's more happening.
Totally. There's more energy.
We're like, wait, what are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, like, I could talk about a boy for an hour and do nothing but feel worse because I'm re-triggering myself.
Exactly. Sometimes things don't need to be talked about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for getting into it and processing however you need to process.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, you just have to... You gotta do something else.
Yeah, focus yourself on something else. So that way, all the other stuff won't feel as heavy also.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
The more that you can dive into things for yourself in any sense, like no matter what's going on. And
yeah.
Also, that doesn't have to be about a boy. It's like, okay, you're stressed about something else just in your life, doing something else or focusing on something else. It's like...
Exactly.
You can always kind of reframe something or shift your energy to, I don't know, just not be... in your head.
Like self, like sometimes focusing on just one thing, like self-obsessing over it, if like anything,
exactly.
That can also add to the situation becoming worse.
Right, like just in life, if you can't make an active change about something.
Yeah.
Focus on something else.
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
And like water your plants, like all of them, not just one of them.
That is,
because then they all can grow simultaneously or like different parts of life or whatever it is, but they all have little moments that they will have their shining time.
Absolutely. That's a great visual. I'm going to use that. I like that.
Thank you.
It's so easy to picture just, you know, you're putting so much of your energy, so much of yourself into one thing, whatever that might be. And what happens when that is not something that is a main center of your focus anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have other things going for you, of course you're going to feel bummed out and...
Totally.
Yeah. You highlight everything and focus on creating a healthy balance in your life. Like, you just feel better and more fulfilled also, I feel like.
Because you can't, like, crumble when one thing falls.
Yeah.
You have to have space for everything. So if one thing is not doing well, you at least know you have five other things that you can keep looking forward to, that you have hope in. Because sometimes people can lose the hope in that sense, or those situations. Mm-hmm. So having other things to talk about aside from, like, the boy, for example, the very generic example.
It's such an easy example.
Yeah, like that is important, because then you don't lose yourself throughout the process, mm-hmm. which is very hard to it's hard to even sometimes realize you're losing yourself when you're in it.
Yeah.
But when you look back and it's like, wait, I also have, like, my friends, my family, my life, my career, my goals, my, like, any little thing, my workouts, whatever little things you do, like, to make yourself feel good is super important.
Absolutely. It's crazy. It's crazy to look back and realize how imbalanced we can get at certain points. And like you said, you might not even realize it, or you feel like, oh, I have control over my situation or whatever I'm doing, X, Y, Z. And it's just like, okay, wait, but why am I so much happier and freer now? Or why am I so much more balanced now? And you see the things that you maybe kind of like stopped focusing on or weren't giving attention to. And it's crazy. It's it's like a reminder to kind of check on yourself. Check on yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a valid thing. Yeah. There are times when I'm like, I literally will go in the mirror and be like, Alyssa, what, like, are you doing this because you want to do this?
Right.
Or because they want you to do this?
And that's such a good point. Like, you have to check in with yourself of what is the actual motivation.
So, like, there are times when I'll literally be in a situation and I'll, like, literally go look in the mirror and be like, Alyssa, are you doing this for you or because they want you to do this?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that as women who were... society raises us to be people pleasers and to make sure everyone else is taken care of before ourselves. It's very easy to fall in the trap of doing things just because they want you to do it, or to make the general topic or experience for everyone else to be more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But if you're uncomfortable in it, it's not worth it. And that comes with growth and with growing up and with finding confidence in yourself.
Absolutely.
Because 16-year-old Alyssa did whatever the fuck anyone wanted her to do to make sure that everyone else was good and that everyone else was validated. And that's in every setting. Friends, boys, family, any setting at all.
Absolutely.
And not even bad, not even always good, but just whatever it was, like,
it's
a thing where you have to have that confidence to be able to acknowledge and say no, or to walk away, or to decide, like, what you actually want in a situation.
Absolutely. As a recovering people pleaser myself,
I feel that.
I'll still do things where I'm, like, overextending myself or committing to too many events on the same day or whatever.
Yeah.
But honestly, at this point, I feel like it's more because I want to do it, or I genuinely want to kind of pop in and see everybody versus feeling like, oh, no, I have to do this or I have to. It's more of a, okay, I get to make this work if I want to, but also if I don't, it's fine and it's not the end of the world. And I've also, you know, not ended up at plans that I've double booked because I'm like, okay, well, you have 40 people at this party, you're not gonna miss me, it's okay, I'll send a little, hope you had the best time, sorry, oops.
and
it's fine, it's not the end of the world. And there was definitely a point where I would have been like, oh my god, they're gonna be
like sick to my stomach having to tell,
like,
someone
anxious,
no, or like, absolutely. And I think I always try when people are like, oh my god, like, sorry I haven't gotten back to you, like, sorry I couldn't make it, I'm like, girl, do, like, don't do your apologize to me if you need to feel better, like, for yourself.
But to me,
I will be okay. I take nothing personal.
Exactly.
I know everyone's on their own journey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be sad if you miss this event or whatever it is. Like, just do what you can do for you. And if that includes me, or if that includes this event or whatever little thing it might be, like, great.
Yeah.
But 100%, I think that's a lot, though. It comes with a lot of learning and practice, almost.
It does. And
practicing,
I feel like
saying no
as adults too, it is it is different than even being in college still, or right out of college, where it's like, okay, we have so much going on, people are busier, there's different work commitments, things are shifting, there's just more happening, and you have to take that with a grain of salt. And that's
totally,
that's an adjustment for sure. But it's nice to see that you can adjust with that, and
and having people who like respect that as well.
Exactly, the boundaries and the knowing, like, it's not the end of the world, we might not see each other for a while, but
was still
life
good.
Happens. Like, yeah. You're chilling. It's fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Which, yeah. So that yeah. comes with learning and growing.
It does.
And I know in college, like, even in college, I did everything I could, but mm-hmm. it was in my own bubble. It was different. We weren't in real life. Like, it was like,
right, exactly.
like, I lived on a campus where everything was just, like, in that moment was what was happening. Yeah. Like, I didn't have a concept of real life. Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly. It's like a little playground that you
literally,
have to
just... as a 20-year-old.
run around and do what you want.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love
and
that.
Yeah, everybody starts being more spread out or busier with XYZ. I keep saying XYZ. Mm-mm, we're not doing that. Sorry, let me run that.
I feel like I'm getting the ick.
I know, I'm getting the ick on myself. yeah, no, it's just, it's funny seeing people get so busy, but you can still be close and that just shifts a little bit. You're just, you're not on the playground anymore. I don't know.
Oh, that's so poetic, though. I love that so much.
Yeah, did I mention I'm a...
Oh, yeah.
Did I mention I'm a writer? I got nervous.
Okay. Are you like, I felt a little too cocky. I'm just kidding.
No, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't chill out.
Like, I'm getting a little too comfortable. I've had the mic.
Yeah,
I'm
really? Just like, let me start just like talking.
That is so funny. So funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, not to ruin and literally go against this whole 30 minutes, what we just said. So we
Bechdel
love
test.
The Bechdel test. We're here for her. We do her as much as we can.
We do, but.
But we do as girlies. Like we said, we have to spill the tea.
We do.
We.
I don't know. Anybody watching the video, this is a tea tattoo, and it's giving that's the tea.
Period. So. Is that on purpose?
It is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I have a matching one with, like, one of my best friends.
That is so cute and
it's
hilarious.
It's fitting. And this position, it's always, like...
You can hide it, or it always
yeah,
comes out.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be seen.
I love that.
My sweater last time.
I didn't it see it, yeah.
Very demure, very mindful of me to be hiding.
Subtle, yeah,
this
totally.
This time we're here for the tea, I feel like.
Yeah, you're like, I'm owning this
exactly,
today.
Exactly, exactly.
So let's get into it with everyone's favorite word. Situationships. Okay.
The physical cringe that I just did.
I
saw it was insane.
Like, fall into yourself.
A little deep breath, a little...
moment of silence for the situationships. Situations. Okay.
Indeed.
I don't even know where to begin.
Oh my gosh.
I think,
neither.
As Gen Zs, we are just... the kings and queens of situationships.
Yeah.
Something happened in our childhood where we saw something going on and the commitment issues are so real. Mm-hmm. We will rather stay in 10-month-long situationships rather than just fucking going for it or being done.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about it.
And, and we're both like, because we've both been there. It's embarrassing how long we've allowed things to prolong. But I want to break some things down, okay?
Yes.
So, situationship, if you don't know what that means,
little
you're
dictionary
very lucky,
moment.
First of all.
For you, first
and
of
also,
all.
How did you dodge those at this point? No.
Right in with tips, tricks.
Yeah, seriously.
On to the next podcast, DMs are open,
yes,
actually.
I need to know how you got avoided this throughout your time. Okay, situationship is basically the word relationship. And the word situation, like, you know how you're having a little, like, situation with a boy or, like, with a guy or with a girl, and you kind of have your moments, you're dating, but you're not dating, there's no title, but there is an underlying title, underlying expectations. That's basically, like, a situation. Would you have a better way to describe that?
No, I think that's perfect. It's, like, it's there, but it's not. It's, what do they say in the Barbie movie where it's, like, non-committal long distance whatever,
yes I
love
that
was literally first of all that movie is full of so many good things.
Yes,
we
gems.
Love that.
Yeah,
but it's that idea of we both want this enough to be in this moment,
yes,
but not enough to
commit.
change our relationship,
yeah.
And commit to being okay, we're actually together, or okay, we should stop doing this.
Yeah, and the main thing about this,
yeah,
is like the girlfriend boyfriend topic is like not a thing,
right? And honestly, it's one of the things where you say a little bit too much about any of that, or even mention, I don't know, people have different experiences, but I feel like even mentioning, oh yeah, our situationship, or like you refer to it too much, and for both parties it's kind of like
yeah, like don't acknowledge
like,
what's going
you
on.
you don't acknowledge it.
No.
That's the thing. And how do you get through so much of your life, or like
that
any
period
of time, without without acknowledging it. Or like, that's insane to me.
It is. And even...
But it's so common.
You're like coasting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Until someone is like, this is not, I need more.
Right. And then you're walking on, like, you're almost both walking on eggshells, no matter if, you know, sometimes there's more of a balance of, okay, we're both just not ready, or like one person is so into it and one person is just along for the ride. And, you know, so those dynamics can be mm-hmm. different, of course, but I feel like there's a point where you're both just walking on eggshells of being like, okay, who's going to make the next move, or who's going to do something that ends this or projects it. And honestly, sometimes the idea of it being converted into more of an official relationship is scarier than it ending.
Yes.
And it's like, everybody talks about it being okay, it's good when it's good, or it's fun until it's not. And how do you know when that's starting to hinder you more than it is to, or like, how do you know when it is hindering you more than it is helping you, or feeling like a fun little moment? Where does it switch from being, okay, this is fun, or this is a little thing we're doing, and you have your little like ratty recaps, and it's like, oh, guess who I saw, and guess what happened, or whatever, to like, you almost start feeling either like you're in a real relationship, but you're not.
Yeah, but the gray area is like, but I can't call you my boyfriend, but people think we're dating.
Yeah, you start hearing things in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Out of experience, you start hearing things from so many people in your life of, oh, okay, you know, has he told you yet, like, how he feels? Like, oh, it's so clear. Oh, so-and-so saw him getting jealous about, like, something or whatever. And it's like, everybody knows. And people, I'll be honest, okay, so people would tell me, right? They would be like, you know, you're basically dating.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am not the one that you have to tell this to. I am aware. But then that self-awareness also starts to get to you, because it's like, why am I allowing myself to be in a situation where I know what it is? And frankly, if you don't, that is
a whole other issue.
Really just not aware of anything.
Removed because, in some way. To
not have that awareness of like, okay, this is where we're at, regardless of whether we call it that.
Yes. I think it's more common for guys to be like, what do you mean we're not dating?
Like, wait, what? What happened? I don't know why I was like, about to do my guy
voice. No, I know, I kind of did too.
But it's so, that's so valid. They're like, oh, what do you mean that it, that's what this feels like now? But
or they're like, babe, you met my parents. We're not fucking dating.
No, literally. Oh, you. I just slept in your bed for like 4 nights.
Yeah, what do in you a mean row. Oh, like, I'm bringing you as my plus one to these events. We're not dating. And then when people mistake you as boyfriend and girlfriend, you're all like, hello. Like,
what? What?
You play
honestly,
dumb?
I have to say, okay, this does go both ways. It's not like a victim mentality of like, oh my gosh, like I was in this situation and like I got like, no, there was a period for me too, and this is so common, I feel like, just from experience and having conversations where I was spending every single day with this person, and I was just like, I was canceling other plans, okay? I was not going on dates. That's so embarrassing.
No,
this is so embarrassing
to
put to
it's very
words.
Humbling.
It is humbling, but at the time, I was almost, like, deluding myself without realizing it, right? Like, we talk about being delusional, like, thinking something's happening when it's not. But I was reverse delusional almost, where I was like, well, I'm so glad that we're such good friends and I want to be doing stuff all the time. And, like, oh, of course we're doing stuff every single day, whatever. But, like, I wouldn't go on dates, or I would push stuff back with other friends. And not in a toxic, unhealthy way of, like, oh, I'm cutting people off. But just in a way of, like, I was prioritizing some things that I should not have been prioritizing probably. And that shift from being like, oh, we're just friends, to a quick plunge into, okay, well, we also sleep together a lot, and we also like, maybe
things.
I'm starting to feel, like somebody told me, somebody that I ended up seeing for a little bit, like recently, I guess, said something about thinking that I was exclusive with this person, and so they never hit me up. And I was like, oh, I'm putting myself, like, I am a big story girl, okay? So the content, it's there. I do weekly reels that are recaps, and honestly, I feel like they're really realistic. I try to just, like, do genuinely what I'm doing. Like, I'll just include whatever I did that week, and sometimes they're aesthetic and sometimes they're just not. But it's like a little video diary, yeah. Okay? And so I put my life out there. I am a chronic story poster, whatever, I don't care. Yeah. And but thinking about that, I'm like, I do it in a way that's so targeted, or like there's no ulterior motives. Like, I'm not trying to have an aesthetic or like push forward a certain lifestyle, that I realized I'm putting everything that I'm doing out there, and for people to be telling me that they thought that I was like in a fully committed relationship,
yes,
or like whatever, it wasn't even friends that were like, oh, like, when are you gonna make it official? I was like, oh my goodness, this is getting to a point where, like, what are you doing? Go do that with somebody else.
Like, somebody who, like, is mutually doing it back to you.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
It was such an interesting conversation. I was like, whoa, okay, that's good to to be aware of that.
100%.
Yeah.
And for me, I think with my, one of my past situationships, I wasn't posting much necessarily about it, but we were like seen a lot in public in like group settings.
Right. And when
so
you know
people were talking
around you,
and it's a hard thing. I want to explain, like, hey, everybody, just so you, everyone knows, this is what's happening. But like in the moment, you don't think
you
of that.
Or you don't want to like.
Yeah. Again, make it worse or acknowledge it even. Right. Yeah.
Because it is easy to get into a space with any of these kind of like halfway relationships where it's like, again, kind of like I said, all right, this feels good right now and I don't want to burst any bubble. I don't want to like push it one way or the other. This is just, it's fine. I'm fine with the medium. I'm happy with it. It's fun. And again, it's fun until it's not. And I've been on the other end of it too, where 100%. I've been the one that was just like, I am not in the place right now. Like, this is not my vibe. But were we still sleeping together like pretty consistently? Yeah. And, like, sorry about that. We're fine. But that was years ago. Also, we don't really like talk anymore. But just to see that, you know, it's not malicious so often. It's just really like what people are in the place for.
Yeah.
Or the kind of communication style. My TikTok, which is, this is probably a sign, but my TikTok has had communication style videos for like 8 months on my For You page.
That is hilarious. I love that.
And it's like, okay, what to do with an avoidantly attached person?
Me.
And it's like, okay, yeah, you want whatever so bad, and then it's like, oh, is it the idea of you, or is it just like, oh, it got too real and you got scared?
Yeah.
And that's fine, that's also okay, but that's such an interesting thing, because I feel like I hear so many people talk about that happen
totally
so often, where it's like, okay, the minute you just like as anybody, you like kind of make more of a realistic push to, oh, like, should this happen, then it's like, oh, wait, it was more fun. It was like the chase of it, or like the idea of whatever, that people with different styles of reacting to relationships or communicating just really go about that such different ways. And if you're also just not the right pairing, I guess, of how you exist and like live your life and like express the way that you're feeling and what is working for you at the moment, I feel like it's so easy to get caught in situations like that. Like, and I wonder if that's almost part of why situationships are so common now versus before. Like, we have so much access to being available and in touch, and we're talking about seeing stuff on Instagram stories. It's not even like something you're posting, you know, it's like your
it
little
goes
daily
away
snippet
in 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah,
like, we have such a sense of what other people are doing, but also not. Like, you don't know how realistic your view of one clip of somebody's day is.
Totally.
But, yeah, we're so connected, but it also kind of leads to this disconnect of, this is a foul way to, like, tie this together, but I'm going to do it anyway. I saw a video yesterday where a guy was just like, I wasn't meant to see this many baddies in my lifetime. Like, my ancestors saw like 7 probably ever.
Oh,
but
my
honestly,
gosh,
like, when we have this like pool of access, like, there's always so many people, like, you always think maybe there is something better, or like it's easier for people to convince themselves like, well, this is good or this is great, but like, what if there's something that's amazing? Or like, instead of putting in the work to develop something, it's like,
I think because we are in the generation of, like, never being satisfied, get instant gratification and instant instantly satisfied, I guess. Because we order on Amazon, and by tomorrow, by the same night, I get what I wanted.
Right.
Or we get the same validation. We post a picture, we get 200 likes. That's all I want. Great. I'm done. Like, oh, do you know what I mean? And, like, you get all that access, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's also a very scary thing. Mm-hmm. Like we said, the power of social media, like, that adds into it. Mm-hmm. Like we said, like, even my mom was like, I don't know how you kids, like, date, full-on date, mm-hmm. and with one person when you're in an era where everyone is able to access everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in a, like, she's not saying that in, like, a jealous way. Ooh, I miss, like, you're, I, like, wish.
Oh, the access to every, it's like, no, oh, it's my, like, God, that's, it's a lot. Overwhelming and overstimulating.
Yeah.
And of course it leads to confusion and
conflict and different.
Exactly.
And like you said, like, everyone always thinks there's something better out there. Mm-hmm. But it's like the quote, it's like the grass isn't always greener. The grass is greener where you water it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you see someone with potential and quality and you water that human and that relationship with them, mm-hmm. that will take you further than going every other week to a different Joe Schmo who gives you what you want in the moment.
Exactly. I saw something recently, too, that really, it, like, struck a chord a little bit, and it just made me think about that idea of the instant gratification, mm-hmm. and how we're perceived and what that feels like. Where it's like, okay, well, of course they're going to somebody else that's new because they only have to show them the good,
yes.
easy parts of them, or they get to be
wow.
who they want themselves to be.
Yes.
And that was kind of a refreshing point of view, just because it's like, yeah, somebody else doesn't always mean better, or, like, better than you, mm-hmm. if you're in that position where you're like, oh, why not me? It's like, okay, you've seen enough of somebody in their true colors, not in a negative way, but, like, you've seen them at lower points or where they are genuinely at right now, and maybe they're not feeling it, they're not happy or fulfilled mm-hmm. with where they're at, and it feels good. It feels good to be able to go on a first date with somebody and be like, here's my highlight reel.
Yes.
Here is the best of me, and you
so
are going to, like, you're going to see the best of me, and you are going to give me that approval or mm-hmm. just positive affirmation that I'm seeking. And of course I'm going to feel better about myself, but what happens when it's, you know, 5 dates down the road, or you're together, and it's like, okay, well, have I worked on myself? Have I gotten to a point where I am better? I am that person that I was portraying that I wanted to be, and if so, awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that is how it happens. You mm-hmm. just have something in your life that shifts enough that you end up being who you need to be for somebody else.
Yeah.
And that is fantastic, but it's a good point of view to realize that so often none of that kind of stuff is about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just where we're at in our own journeys and where that kind of alignment comes from.
Totally.
I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is, like, I'm gonna, like, literally have my therapist friend come back on here and talk about, just break down the relationships, because there are so many deep rooted issues mm-hmm. in an individual. And not even bad, necessarily, just, like, things that they either have unhealed, they haven't even learned about themselves yet, to be able to be a part of these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, my, like, longest situationship that I was a part of, I allowed it for so long because I didn't want anything serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dope, we get along, we're besties, we have fun, like, phenom.
Right.
And all vibes were there, and we had similar interests and everything, it worked out well, great.
Sure, yeah.
But And when we had that experience beginning, I didn't want anything more than just, like, the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're 6 months in, you're like, okay, this is becoming exhausting.
Like,
I'm confused.
This
what is
draining?
Like, what are people thinking about us? What am I thinking about us? Like, what are you thinking about us? Like, then that becomes a bigger
mm-hmm.
conversation. But it's like, I own the fact that I allowed it. Like you said earlier, I'm not playing a victim. It's funny, we make the jokes, but, like, we know what we're doing. A lot of girls, I hope, if a, mm-hmm. for the girlies out there, I hope if you are allowing a situationship, it's because you also want that in some way,
yeah,
or like you want that power. But the issue is sometimes these men will place you in this bucket of situationship only, mm-hmm. and they won't ever think of you as wife or dating or girlfriend yeah. material.
Because also, if you allow something, if you allow a kind of relationship or a pattern to go on for long enough, it's like, why would it ever get shifted? Why would you ever have to get out of that? And it kind of paints you as, yeah, somebody that's just okay with the bare minimum,
yes.
or way less than the bare minimum, actually.
Yeah. yeah.
It's, yeah, it's kind of a toxic cycle at that stage, because it's like, you're never gonna get out of it, I guess.
Yeah, and in my, like, situation, when it got to the point of where it got, like, messy, mm-hmm. I was like, why would he expect anything other than me?
And that's
I'm giving him every part of my life.
Yeah.
We're doing all the things that you should do as a girlfriend, mm-hmm. but, like, you're not dating at all. It's very clear, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm at a spot where it's like, why would he give me more if I'm allowing what I'm allowing?
Exactly. Right. I think that's kind of what I realized for myself too, mm-hmm. in my longer situationship, was that when it started, it felt like something that was going to be really healthy and exciting, and I kind of waited a long time to fall into that moment that was sort of, you know, brewing.
Yeah.
For the reason that I was like, okay, I want this to be healthy if it does happen, and it was kind of a like, is it going to happen or not? And then, yeah, I also wanted it to be the way it was for so long,
yeah.
that I didn't mind. Like I was saying, I was like, this is good. This is fun for me. I'm loving this for myself.
Yeah.
And then speaking about being 25 and your brain developing, and I don't know, there was a storm of things, I'm sure. I know that period of time. It was like two weddings sandwiching a 25th birthday.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seriously.
Crisis.
Yeah,
went crazy. But when I woke up on my birthday and I had,
oh.
I had so many. I had so many of my friends writing me the sweetest, like longest messages. It was so
yeah.
nice. It was just like, you know, I want this for you this year. Like, I hope it's the best year ever. But then the little addendum at the end where it was like, okay, like, no toxic men, like, no toxic relationships. Hopefully you're just, like, on to the next one soon.
Yeah.
Like, positive this time.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, we've gotten to a point where it's, maybe it's not as fun. Maybe it's not something that I really want in my life anymore. And
we might not notice that, but the people around us will.
And that, I think, is the biggest kicker. Mm-hmm. It's like the outside perspective.
Yeah.
Seeing that shift and even going from, oh my gosh, is it official yet, to, dude, you have to stop.
Mm-hmm. It's like not cute anymore.
Exactly. And
yeah.
I think in hindsight, you know, it's been some time, and I thought a lot about mm-hmm. what balance I was bringing to my life, what I was watering, where my
yeah.
energy was going. And I've learned a lot in
yeah.
the last few months as I've reflected on that, and it's been great, and there's genuinely no hard feelings at all to
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's one of those things where I was like, damn, dude, I didn't want to learn a lesson. But since I did, awesome, we're gonna run with
it,
and
I
feel good, you know. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you do kind of have to have these big shifts or things don't work out. It's the same as, it's not the same, but it's like how they say for job interviews, like, rejection is just redirection.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Whatever. It's like, okay, just because something didn't work out that you wanted to work out, like, what is meant for you is going to ultimately find
mm-hmm.
you. And if you're putting yourself into a cycle of just being kind of like stagnant, or you're in purgatory.
Yeah.
And I think
to all of my friends uh-huh. would describe our situationship as being in purgatory.
Yeah.
Once it got to the point where it was like not fun anymore and
right.
like actually
it kind
annoying.
Of crosses that bump of
yeah,
like,
I'm like, is
oh,
this
he-he.
Not cute anymore? Yeah. And
yeah.
and I've even told that to him, and
mm-hmm.
no beef at all. It was
yeah.
always jokes, and we made
like,
fun out of it despite anything. I'm able to make fun out of any situation just to make myself feel better, whatever that looks like.
As you should, but exactly, whatever.
I do want to give the moment of silence for the girlies who got us through the situationships. Because for me, like, my girlfriends would hear about the same story.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
10, 12 times a week, and it's like, it's actually gross. Because I remember being like, I would never let my sister or my closest friends go through something that I allowed and went through.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think having that perspective is what finally was like, this is not okay. This is not cute. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not going to continue.
I feel like you get to a point with so many things in life where you have a little, like, just a blip of an out-of-body experience. Yes. And you feel like you're watching yourself. And
that's enough sometimes.
Seeing myself spin the fuck out over something that I felt like I was still an active participant in choosing. Mm-hmm. Again, no victim mentality whatsoever. But seeing how much that was starting to emotionally just drain me, and such high highs, such low lows.
Yes.
It's like you're addicted to the, like, what's it going to be this time? And I know that's such a thing too. I'll let your your therapy like actually talk about that.
No,
I don't want to give
any
advice, but I know it's like, I know that, you know, that is such a thing where it's back to that instant gratification, and it's like, okay, you're like doom scrolling, or you're just scrolling forever because it's that little blip of serotonin, dopamine, whatever.
Totally.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, you have a situation that's so unstable in that sense, and it's like, oh wait, okay, it's gonna be really good this week. Oh, so fun, I'm in it, I'm locked in. And then when it's bad, you're just like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but what if it's good again next week? And then it's like, oh my gosh. And I was in such a toxic relationship when I was younger. I was in like a 5-year relationship, and I thought I was past that. So to see that things were almost starting to become a pattern, I was like, oh, absolutely not. Like, we are not behaving this way. I have grown up so much, and nothing about my life is the same as it was.
Yeah.
Back when I was in my first long-term true relationship.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not the energy that we're absorbing, that we're putting out. And it's a good realization.
It is. And those patterns, I'm also, like, hyper aware of my patterns that I have been allowing in relationships, no matter what, friendship, boys, whatever situation, family. But those patterns, to me, is a sign of an unhealed part of myself that I need to figure out. So I don't want to put that on the boy. That's why I don't like the victim mentality.
Absolutely.
I own my decisions. I own what I allowed. I owned my experiences.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, like, doing better for the next time.
Agreed, yeah.
And I think having the community around us to allow that is game changing.
And
if you don't feel like you have that community who's allowing you to grow and make those mistakes and kind of flourish from there, then find it or regroup. Maybe there's something else going on. I hope you find those people, reach out, make new friends, like we said, like make new adult friends or friends that you meet in this period of your life, not that you've had that might be bringing you down in some way,
because
that can also hinder your growth.
Yeah, if you don't feel inspired by the people around you and, like, you're on an upward path, it's like you're not around the right people anymore.
Totally.
And you can grow out
of
friendships, and that can also be a bummer. That's, like, a whole different topic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things can change and evolve, and it's all back to that idea of being an adult and being in our mid-20s like this. You're gonna have to fail at some stuff, or some things are not gonna work out, but it's because you're learning, like, okay, this didn't work out, but that gives you a smaller sample size of things to try next that will work out.
So this is a whole thing I can go on for literally hours, and I think I'm going to do, like, a separate solo episode as well. I'll have the therapist on. Hopefully she can give us some insight.
I love that.
Because it's a lot of the things. There's a lot of patterns and a lot of what we saw growing up, what we allowed growing up, what we saw the different figures in our life growing up. Like, it's just a lot. So for now, let's put that to rest. Let's just end on a positive note.
Yeah, switch it up. Back to the Bechdel test.
Yeah, right, okay, back to that, like, rewind. Okay, so I want to quickly just touch base, a mix of, like, what you have next planned, what is your next new goals and new good vibes that you want to come towards you, and what is up, if you want to talk a bit more about Mana and, like, that collection of art and all that fun stuff. Just get back into the creative world.
Absolutely. Okay, I love this question.
Yeah.
So I have been working for a while on publishing a children's book for my dad.
Aww.
So both of my parents are all like have always been so creative. They are absolutely where my brother as a playwright, actor, and then me as a writer, creative.
Yeah.
That's where we get it, yeah. Undoubtedly, right? Yeah. And neither of them have jobs that really allow them to be in those creative spaces, but they've always, like, my dad made a fake blog. Don't ask me what it is.
Oh, my
It was, like, such a funny little thing in high school, but my dad made a fake blog, but they would always be good, like, satirical little blog posts. It was just okay. Funny. And then my mom has always helped me, you know, with editing on projects that yeah. I worked on and whatever. But my dad, as kids, he wrote us back in, like, 2002 a series of books. And so for his 60th birthday, we went to Scotland this year. And I had, I was on the other side of the freelance work this time. I hired a illustrator.
Okay.
To fully illustrate the book. We have it all set. And we're going to self-publish it.
But
I got to give that to him as a gift. And it's super exciting that the carousel horse has been brought to life.
Aww.
He said, I didn't even know that you remembered that I wrote that.
And
that
was so
the sweetest thing because
pure.
My brother and I have always talked about the stories he wrote.
Aww.
And so to have that switch of, you know, him thinking, oh, they were so little and they had no idea that this still existed.
Yeah.
It was the sweet impact. For all of us, I think, to
yeah.
be like, this is what, you know, really impacts you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I, in talking about that, I've been going to an improv writing group once a month.
Okay.
That's hosted by an old professor that I had, and it's always just great to network and get creative for an hour.
Yeah.
And somebody recently asked if I would help go through the editing and publishing process for another kid's book.
Oh my gosh.
And so it feels very exciting because I am somebody that has wanted to work in this space for so long, and I feel like I've been doing it for years successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been shorter form pieces, okay. or I have some manuscripts and things that I'm working on for my own book.
Oh.
But getting to be the person that helps put these products
yeah.
into the world and gets this creativity out there is just so special, and it feels very exciting, and it's one of those things where I can feel like I'm behind as much as I want, or mm-hmm. have my days where I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is the right path for me, and then I'll have a meeting like that, and it's like,
yeah, inspiring.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
That is
and
beautiful.
So, that's a big one, and I'm collaborating with some people in Chicago to curate some events.
Okay.
Which actually kind of stemmed off of the Mana Collection. I was reached out to by a couple of people in very different spaces, and they were like, okay, I like your eye for art, or I like the way that you've thrown events. I throw a lot of parties and events for mm-hmm. different things, and so it's cool that, again, I'm the one that's being contacted to
yes.
get to share, you know, my knowledge.
It's always so,
and so
validating.
It feels great.
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
And then, yeah, the Mana Collection is going to be going through some exciting new changes soon, so we're going to stay tuned on that one. We had a little pause this last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
We were making some shifts, and we relaunched our entire website after
Amazing.
The original launch. We've been really learning and growing, you know. I like to talk about it like it's a fully developed thing, but it's really such an exciting, growing project
mm-hmm.
that is teaching us a lot. Max, my partner, and I, it's been a process to
yeah.
get to learn about it. And so we're always growing, we're always learning, we're always on to the next. And
yes, I'm
yeah,
so excited for
I would
you.
Say that's where we're at. Just getting
oh
into the
gosh.
Creativity again, really full force. And
yeah.
I'm directing a lot of energy that I was putting toward other things, other
yes.
people, back to myself,
yes.
back to my goals, and it feels good.
I am so excited. If you, nothing is more freeing than that experience. So that is so, so exciting.
Absolutely.
And please, if there's any way I can help or promote or add or go to events or whatever it is, like,
thank you.
Please, like, that is absolutely so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's the Stay Mana Collection on socials. Yes. So there's that one.
I'll tag you, of course.
I love it. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I mean, to wrap it up on an even higher note,
yeah.
Do you have, I would just like a piece of advice or thought, whether that's the best, biggest life lesson you've learned so far, mm-hmm. or what's something you would tell 16-year-old Anna?
Absolutely. Okay, I love this question. I would say that you get to create your own life, and if any aspect of that doesn't feel good for you at any time, change it. And I think that's it. I know that comes from a place of privilege and being able to, you know, have opportunities. But at the end of the day, you're in charge of yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah. I think that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, switch it if it doesn't work anymore.
I love that so much. Or if it doesn't work anymore and you can't get out of it right away, like.
Right.
Have like, the community to help you or
exactly
do the baby steps to get out of it.
Ideas, you know, look toward the future. Because that's a good point, too. You know, that's not always cut and dry of, oh, I want to shift. I want to shift my job, my relationship, where I live.
Yeah.
But even just having that excitement of looking forward to something else or making a shift, mm-hmm. I feel like can shift your mental space so much. And you'll be able to go from there. And it just feels...
Yeah.
better and inspiring to I know that there's other things out there, whatever that may be, right?
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that so much. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, so many gems today.
No, what a good day.
Wow,
what
a we good are just going at it. I know,
oh my gosh, like I love being here
so much compared to last episode, last season.
I know, I'm gonna have it's to really listen sweet. To the last episode again and just see what's changed, because I do feel like I'm in such a different space mm-hmm. in my life, and
which
it's
is really important.
It's cool to be able to
look
back
on
that. No kidding,
too.
Honestly,
it's so exciting,
amazing, and I'm sure for that. You having
yeah,
all the episodes,
whole,
you get to just look at
oh
everything
my God.
And you all and
insane in a beautiful way. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, do you have any last minute thoughts or questions for me, or just in general for the audience?
I don't. Think so.
Okay. Do you want to plug
Maybe
your
I
socials?
Should have.
No, you're good. I didn't expect it.
So I am AnnaDove__ on everything, and my website is just AnnaDove.co. I got a little rebrand
Cute
there too,
slay.
So that's fun. Check it out. It's my portfolio, but I also have blog posts and talking about getting back into writing. I'm gonna have some pieces coming back up. So. Looks like she's been stagnant for a while, but we're getting there. We're getting
she's
there.
Up and coming, you guys.
Yeah.
Go
in progress. In progress,
that's
always.
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
A work in progress.
Always.
I love that. Beautiful. Anna, thank you so much. This has been absolutely a blast and also so healing and validating in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being here.
I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me again. It's an honor.
Of course. I'm so excited to edit this. I'm going to be texting like, oh my God, wait, guys.
I love it.
So I'm so excited, literally. I feel like giddy. It's so,
it's so wholesome. I use that word too much, but like this is actually wholesome.
No, literally. Oh my gosh.
So, sweet.
So many gems. Uh-huh. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. You know the drill. First, give all the love to Anna and to her Mana Collection, and we will continue to share and root her on throughout her journey. And please, with the podcast, like, comment, subscribe, share, post, repost, tell your friends, tell the girlies, tell the boys, tell everyone and their mothers about the On to the Next podcast. And I cannot wait to see you when we are on to the next episode. Thank you for being here. Bye.